Let's take our Bibles this morning and go to the book of Philippians, chapter 3, if you will, please. Chapter 3, Brother Ron was on that chapter a little bit this morning in Sunday school class. How many of us, don't raise hands, of course, believe that we could still improve our Christian life? Say amen. Amen. I know I can improve mine, and I believe the third chapter of Philippians will help us a little bit to understand why and what we do need to improve our Christian life. So there are three principles that I want to give you this morning from this chapter, if I could. So look at where Paul was there in prison as he wrote this, writing to the Philippians, trying to encourage them. And I know many times I've gone to a hospital and found people, they've encouraged me. Paul's in prison and he wants to be a source of encouragement and to take a look at our lives and hoping we will improve them. Now, here's what he says, first of all, in those first three verses, don't serve with the wrong spirit. Don't serve with the wrong spirit. That's what I find there in those first three verses here. Finally, my brethren, rejoice in the Lord. To write these things to you, to me indeed, is not grievous, but for you it is safe. Beware of dogs, beware of evil workers, beware of concessions, for we are the circumcision which worship God in the Spirit and rejoice in Christ Jesus and have no confidence in the flesh. Now, let me say this here. First of all, as I say, don't serve with the wrong spirit. Serve with a spirit of enthusiasm about your faith. The word enthusiasm literally means to be possessed by God. That's what the word enthusiasm means, to be possessed by God. That is the word for the word enthusiasm. I get a kick out of the Apostle Paul here, if I could put it in that way. Finally, my brethren, oftentimes in a message, I have been accused of saying, and finally, and then I go on and on and on and on and on, and I'm glad to know I have company. Paul says, finally, in the third chapter, he's only halfway through, where he has three more chapters to cover. I remember one year when our Christian school in Charleston, we had a speaker, and I always told our speakers at a graduation service, no more than 20 minutes. Because they're there to get their certificates, they're there to be honored. And this dear brother who bless his heart, and he went on for about 55 minutes at a graduation. And he said several times, finally, and I almost stood up at one point and said, finally, shut up. That's what I wanted to say. And I'm sure there are times in my own ministry people would say, finally, shut up, Stevens. Let's move on here if we might. But serve with a spirit of enthusiasm. Notice what he says here in verse 1. Finally, my brethren, rejoice in the Lord. Rejoice in the Lord. The need to have enthusiasm about the things of God. And I hope that you do today. We have sorrow here. We pointed out one today we prayed for, but in our hearts we still can rejoice in the Lord because God never makes a mistake. And I pray today that we will serve with that right spirit, the spirit of rejoicing, serve with the right of enthusiasm. Not only do we need to serve with a spirit of enthusiasm, but we need to serve with the spirit of enlightenment. Look at verse 2. Beware of dogs. Now, you have to understand, how many have a dog? Several of you have dogs. How many need a cat? Raise your hand. Anyway, I have a couple. Anyway, thinking with me, in those days when you had a dog, it was not a pet. Dogs were always considered wild animals that would really hurt other people. So people didn't have dogs as pets back in those days as we have them today. And so we see here when he talks about where of dogs, of evil workers, he's talking about, in concessions, he's talking about those who are living in spiritual darkness. And I was thinking of that, and I want you just to mark your Bible there in Philippians chapter 3 and turn with me, if you will, to 2 Peter and turn over there to chapter 2, if you will, please. So, and in doing that, you'll find here in this chapter, he has some words to say about the world in which we live, because we have dogs that devour. We have evil workers and concessions, those who would cause spiritual division among its people. And when you come over there to verse 19 of 2 Peter in chapter 1, notice what he says. We have also a more sure word of prophecy, whereunto you do well that you take heed as unto light that shineth in a dark place. The word dark is an interesting word. It refers to a place of dry, dirty darkness. That's the idea of that word there, dry, dirty, and dark. That's the world we live in, folks. We live into a dry, no spiritual enthusiasm, no desire for God in their life, dirty, and certainly dark. So he's talking about here, over there also. So we do realize the world in which we live is that dark world in which we live. And then notice the rest of the verse here. Shineth until the day dawn. Now, know what that day dawn? That's when the Lord returns. That's going to be a great day when the Lord returns. That will be that the day dawn. Darkness will go away. It will be replaced by the light of our Lord's return. Then I say that dark day. Notice something else in the text. He not only talks about that darkness will be replaced with the dawnness of our Lord's return, but he talks about the day star. The day star is a word which means light bringer, to bring forth light. I hold in my hands a light bringer. I have indwelling me this morning a light bringer called the Holy Spirit. Thank God for those light bringers that bring light to darkness. And I thank the Lord to it. And so he reminds us here, even though we live in the dark world, we are enlightened with the light of the day star. I remember many years ago when turning on my radio, often hearing Dr. J. Vernon McGee. How many know that name? And Dr. McGee preached one message. He preached on Jesus Christ. That was the day, we remember the rock fest thing they had called the Superstar, Jesus Christ Superstar. He said, Jesus Christ is not the superstar. He's the bright and morning star. And I could still hear Dr. McGee preach that when I'd go hear him often preach that. I thank God we have the day star. We have the Lord. And so not only are we to serve with the white spirit, the spirit of enthusiasm, and not only are we served with the spirit of enlightenment, we have the day star coming, dawning upon us. But most of all, thirdly, serve with the spirit that indwells us. Look there in verse 3, for we are not of the circumcision which worship God, for we are not the circumcision which worship God in the spirit. Now that's the Holy Spirit. So he's telling us, don't serve with the wrong spirit. Serve with a spirit of enthusiasm. That's the right spirit. Serve with a spirit of enlightenment. I look at the world today, it's pretty dark, isn't it? Pretty dismal. But thank God for the light. And then the indwelling Spirit of God. Thank God we have a Holy Spirit that indwells us and directs us to worship our wonderful Lord and God and Savior. So first thing he's telling us, don't serve with the wrong spirit. I know times are rough. I know times are hard. I know we're living in probably one of the most difficult times of my life and your life when it comes to what's going on in the world today and in our own country. But we don't need to be down about it. We need to serve with enthusiasm, with enlightenment, and with the indwelling spirit. Second thing he tells us is don't be satisfied with your accomplishments. Don't be satisfied with your accomplishments. First thing he tells us, look there at verse 4-6 here as you look at, so don't be satisfied with your accomplishments. Verse 4, though I have might also have confidence in the flesh, if any other man thinketh that he has, I'll try it again. If any other man thinketh that he hath whereof he might trust in the flesh, I more circumcised the eighth day of the stock of Israel, the tribe of Benjamin, the Hebrew of the Hebrews, as touching the law, a Pharisee. And then he goes on, the last word in verse 3 is what? Blameless. Now that's Paul's past life. Paul could look back on his last life in the back and he could say, listen, I'm all that. I was all that. But what good is it to live in the past? I have a new life in Jesus Christ, a much greater life. And what he's saying here is let your gains become your losses. Don't live in the past accomplishments. He had listed. Listen, in other words, I'm telling you today, update your yesterdays. Update them. Oftentimes in my ministry of 52 years, I've heard people stand up and give testimony of things in the past. Folks, get over the past. Update your yesterday. Make it the presence. Live in the presence and do something today. Do something today that counts for our Lord Jesus Christ. We have far many people who live in the past. Let your gains, the things you've done in the past. I oftentimes will get with a group of preachers and they're talking about the good old days, which is normally a combination of poor memories and dissatisfaction with the present. The good old days is where you live now. Update your yesterdays. Make sure you're living today and just everything in the past is just in the past. Just be your losses. But far too many of God's people want to worship on the yesterdays. They want to meditate upon the yesterdays, all those things that were accomplished. And I'll tell you this, the church can never go forward with that kind of thinking. You'll find in a few moments here in this text, the Apostle Paul, he said, that I may know him. And I think Paul knew him, but he wanted to know him better than today than he did yesterday. So the first thing, when he tells them, don't be satisfied with your accomplishment. In other words, don't let your gains be your losses. And secondly, don't let pride rule your life. Again, look at verse 6. Concerning zeal, persecuting the church, and touching the righteous, which is in the law, blameless. He said, you know, I lived a pretty blameless life according to the Old Testament law. But he did live a right life. Oftentimes, if we're not careful, we can just be satisfied we're right with the Lord when we're not. On that Damascus road in Acts chapter 9, when Paul met the Lord Jesus Christ, he came to a conclusion, I'm just not right with God. I need Christ in my life. And so he had come to a conclusion, yeah, let your gains become your losses and don't let pride rule your life. You got things in your life that are wrong, take care of them. Take care of them. Do the right thing. And be repentant of those things. You heard my story more than once about Kaleo, my grandson. Remember that story about the ants? How many remember that story? I love that. I pray for Kaleo today. He's been in the hospital over in Micronesia. They're not sure what's wrong with him. He gets to go home today, but they're going to run some tests, and they may have to leave the island to Hawaii to get an MRI. Problem is, how would he get back there? Because Micronesia is closed once you leave there, so we need to pray for them. But I still can remember that little fella as he was in his room, and he was saying, I sorry. Remember that story? I sorry. I sorry. Only about 2 years old, three or four, whatever. If you know what the real age, ask Marilyn. She's got it all down. And there was a little stream of ants. Remember that? I sorry. With not a sorry bone in that little guy's body. Sometimes we do that with sin. We just sorry, which makes us sorry Christians. Because we don't deal. We act like we're blameless. God help us. And don't see yourself. Don't see yourself without blame. He said, I was treated myself while I was blameless. God help us. Don't be satisfied with your come. That is, let your gains become your losses. Get this. And let Christ become your gain. Let your gains become your losses, but let Christ become your gain. I'm thinking today, look there in verse 7 through verse 9. But what things were gained in me that I counted loss for Christ. Now underline the word counted. You'll find that three times in verse 7 and verse 8. You'll find it once in verse 7. Twice in verse 8, the word itself is an interesting word. The word count means to evaluate and make a decision after you evaluate. Three times it's mentioned. Look there in verse 7, once there, twice in verse 8, looking three times. In verse 7, when he says this, he says, Paul was simply saying, Paul concluded that he needed to exchange the former life for the better. Look there in verse 7, if you will, please. But what things were gained to me, then I counted life lost for Christ. In other words, Paul was saying, I want to exchange this the former life for a better life. Now, by the way, as a Christian, we still need to do that. We still need to do that. The former life is what you were. But what are you today? Are you growing? Are you closer to the Lord today than you were in the past? Paul concluded the need to exchange the former life for the better life. Then secondly, the second time as mentioned in verse 8, Paul concluded he needed to exchange the better life for the best life. The former life for the better life, now the better life for the best life. Now what is the best life? What is the best life? Look there in chapter 1 and verse 21. Look at chapter 1 of Philippians and look at verse 21. For me to live is what? And to die is gain. He said, I'm not happy with the better life. I want to get to know him better. I want to have a more surrendered life. I want to exchange the better life is to be a Christian. Amen? But the best life is to surrender that life to Jesus Christ. Surrender to him. So Paul, in that word count, he needed to exchange the former life for the better life. Now he says, I want to exchange the better life for the best life. For me to live is what? Christ. What are you living for? I deal with people so much through the years. Some people live for their children. Don't live for your children. Give them to the Lord. Let Christ take over their life. You'd be surprised how many people, young people, in my time were called to the mission field, but mom and dad discouraged them from what God wanted for their life. That's a terrible thing, isn't it? So he said the gain here, the clue, he needed to exchange the better life for the best life. And then I noticed thirdly, the third time of you, look at verse 8 again. You doubtless, and I count all things but loss for the excellency. That's the best life. The word excellency means above the normal, the extraordinary life. I don't want to be a better Christian. I want to be the best Christian. You want to be a better Christian or a best Christian? I'd rather choose to be a best Christian. I've actually asked people down there, want to be a better Christian? I'm satisfied being a better Christian, not the best. Because if I become the best, then I got to surrender some things in my life. And I don't want Jesus Christ to take over completely. I want to control certain things of my life. Lord, help us. Count them loss. Paul not only concluded the first time he needed to exchange the former life where he was for the better life to know Christ. Then he concluded not only that he needed to exchange the better life for the best life, for me to die, to live as Christ, to die as gain. But thirdly, he concluded he needed to exchange the things that put him in bondage for the best of things. Paul did not want to live a life of bondage. Look there, if you will, in verse 8, the third time, for which cause I have suffered the loss of all things, in verse 8, the loss of all things, and do count them but what? Dung. Where do you poo with bad things? I go to the dump regularly, because keeping my yard the way I wanted to with that 2 acres that I have, and Maryland's always planting a tree. I'm always digging this up or digging that up, putting up gates, putting up fences. You feel sorry for me yet? So I take myself to the dump a lot of things with things that we do. I think spiritually we need to go to the dump regularly. You been to the dump lately? I mean the spiritual dump where you can dump the things that you know that are not valuable in your life. We're now 80 years of age, and when you get our age, you begin to realize you probably don't have too many of those years left, and we don't want our kids to have to come and get clean out the house. How many know what I'm talking about? So you're planning on getting rid of it all as much as you can before you go on to eternity. But I have found, and I love my wife dearly, honey, there are so many things that are in boxes that ought to be in the dump. I'm not referring to those things when I say the things. I'm talking about the things that take us away from Jesus Christ and our fellowship with Him. We need to take to the garbage dump of our spiritual life and get rid of them. It may be the internet. Maybe our TV programming, maybe the books we read, maybe our hobbies, I don't know. And get this, a good thing becomes a bad thing when it takes the place of the best thing, your relationship with Jesus Christ. So here's the conclusion. Paul concluded, look there again, the third time the word counted in verse 3, I have suffered the loss of all things and count them but dung that I may win Christ. Christ was the object of his life. So thirdly, after we looked at those first things, number one, don't serve with the wrong spirit. Serve with enthusiasm. Serve with the spirit of enlightenment. The dawn, the day star are there. Serve with the spirit that indwells us. Thank God we have the Holy Spirit to lead and guide us. Did you bring him along with you today? He's there. A.W. Tozer said, if the Holy Spirit was removed today, how many churches would just carry on as though nothing happened? How many Christian life would just carry on as though nothing happened? But we cannot live without the ministry of the Spirit of God. Thirdly, don't stumble into your walk with Jesus Christ. Don't stumble into it. Do you ever stumble? Marilyn and I both have, as we walk our property there, we both have walking sticks, and we both have fallen without those walking sticks. And I'm glad no one was there to take a video of how we're trying to get up with 80-year-old bodies as you've fallen, and you're trying to figure out how to get yourself up. It's a difficult situation. I suggest you today, don't stumble into your walk with Christ. Make sure it's done properly. And I want to say this to you as kindly as I can. Jesus Christ is your walking stick. As you walk through this life, you will stumble and fall without Him as that walking stick with you. You need him. Somebody said to me, "Oh, you Christians need crutches." No, I just need a walking stick. He's my walking stick so that I will not stumble. And don't stumble into your Christian life down the path of it. I will say, as we think about that, first, live a deeper life. Live a deeper life. Look there at the next, look at verse 10. Tremendous verse, is it not? If you haven't memorized this verse, I suggest you put it to memory. Because after he deals with our, don't serve with the wrong spirit. Don't be satisfied with your past accomplishments, your gains or your losses. And Jesus Christ is your gain. And now don't stumble into your Christian, your walk with Jesus. Don't stumble along the way. Look how Paul, and look at verse 10. That I may what? The word know. There are two words for the word know. One is to know by knowledge. That's head. This is to know by experience. That's the heart. I'm thankful for all the things that I have learned about the Bible. I hope you feel the same way about your Christian life. But none of them will help me at all without an experience of a deep relationship with Jesus Christ. That's the most valuable knowledge you can have, that I may know him and the power of his resurrection, the fellowship of his suffering, be made conformable unto his death. So what is he talking here? First of all, it's about the living a deeper life, that I may know him. This is the deeper life. The deeper life is getting to know him more. Now, Paul, I don't know anybody in Scripture, the New Testament, who knew more about God than Paul. Nobody. Paul was in prison. He's about ready to die. He said, "I got one objective, to know more about him. A deeper relationship with my Lord, my God, and my Savior." I hope that's your goal, a deeper life with him. Now, let me move on here, because he deals not only with that deeper life, that deeper life. How do you make that deeper life? By making some choices. Brother Ron was talking about choices in Sunday school. Two decisions on the shelf. One is Christ and one is self. Everything in life's a choice. You have to choose to live the deeper life. Pardon my grammar, it ain't going to happen unless you're willing to make the choice of living life. Again, in the book of Ephesians, or Philippians chapter 1, verse 21, for me to live is Christ and to die is what? Gain. His whole life was wrapped up in our Lord, and I hope you. And not only are you to make a choice, but you are to develop the mind of Christ. Look at chapter 2. You're in the book of Philippians. So look at chapter 2, if you will, please, and look at verse 5. You're not only to make a choice. You want a deeper life, you got to choose it. But you got to have the mind of Christ. Look at verse 5. Let this mind be in you, which was also in Christ Jesus. Now, I'll tell you what kind of mind he had. He had a servant mind. He had a mind that was just whatever God you want me to do. That's the deeper life. That's the deeper life. And so we find here, in order to live that deeper life, let me give you four things I think you ought to do daily. Here's what you ought to do. It will help you, I hope. Number one, Christ must become your daily environment. Colossians 3, verse 1 said, turn over to Colossians 3. Just real quick, it's not far away. Verse 1, if ye being risen with Christ, seek those things which are where? Above. Where Christ sitteth on the right hand of God. I heard somebody say, you know, that some Christians are so heavenly minded, they're not much earthly good. I think it's the opposite. We're so earthly minded, we're not any heavenly good. I'll tell you, make him your environment. Make your environment. I have that mind. Renewal, money must become your daily, Christ must become your daily environment, but renewal must become your daily experience. Though the outward man perish, the inward man is renewed how? Day by day. You know a lot of people don't live a deeper life? Oh, I got so busy today, I didn't have time to read my Bible. Oh, I didn't have time to pray. Oh, I had so many things to do. That's called the doctrine of baloney. It's somewhere in the Bible. We have choices we make. Choices we make. Choose. Make him your daily environment. Renew must become your daily environment. And scripture must become your daily encounter. Scripture must become your daily encounter. You know, God has something for you in this book today that you needed for today. He'll give you something tomorrow that you'll need tomorrow. And number four, prayer must become your daily habit. Christ must become your daily environment. Renewal must become your daily experience. Scripture must become your daily encounter. And prayer must become your daily habit. You need to get to the place, we all do, where if we don't pray, we feel guilty. Because that's the Holy Spirit. We miss our Bible. If you don't feel guilty, you're in trouble. You're not getting the deeper life. If you don't make him your environment, Lord, I know the world's getting bad, but you know, I'm spending more time focusing on him than I am my problems. All those things are key today to living a deeper life. Number two, in order for you and I not to stumble in our walk with Jesus Christ, not only do we live a deeper life, but we live a dynamic life. Look there again, going back to Philippians 3, verse 10, that I may know him what? In the power of the resurrection. You know, we talk about Friday, the day our Lord died, right? Friday was the day of his death. Sunday was a dynamic day because that's the day he rose from the grave, right? Between the Saturday and the Sunday, there's a day called Saturday, and that was a day of defeat for all the disciples said, we give up, he's dead, this is the end, it's over with. You know what our problem is today? We got too many people live on Saturday instead of Sunday. Living Saturday. Defeated lives, as though he isn't alive. Hallelujah, he lives. And we can live a dynamic Christian life. We can have victory in our lives. Now, don't misunderstand me. When you're going through sorrow, such as the Moody's, that's going to hurt you. But I want to tell you something. God can still give you victory. Amen. God can do it. Only God can do it. I can tell her, I pray for her, give her a hug, whatever. But I'll tell you, only God can give her that victorious Christian life. And as well as Dennis. So you must live a deeper life. Don't stumble into your walk. I better be careful. I will go down. Live a deeper life. Live a dynamic life. And live a devoted life. That's fellowship. That's the word fellowship. Somebody said, fellowship is two fellows in the same ship. One is you, the other is the Lord. As you travel, listen. We're headed for the holidays. I can enjoy, you enjoy the holidays? A lot of people don't. A lot of people don't. You know why? Because more people will commit suicide during the holidays than any time of the year because a depression sets in. Do not allow depression to get a hold of you. Kick it out the front door of your heart and enjoy our Lord Jesus Christ. Somebody says, oh, but we're not sure we're going to get all the gifts because they're stuck someplace else on a ship someplace. They can't get trucks to unload them. That's not Christmas, folks. Christmas is Jesus Christ. That's what it's all about. Live a devoted life. Fellowship. Don't be a Christian casualty in the midst of the conflicts in your life. Don't be that. Don't be that. Thank God for a deeper life, a dynamic life, a devoted life. He said, and fellowship. Oh, I thank God for my fellowship with the Lord. I enjoy that. You enjoy it? I hope you enjoy it. Be good if we just had a testimonial service where people just talked about, stood up and talked about their meeting with Christ that day. Oh, what a fellowship we had. I meet with him in prayer in the mornings. I meet with him. I'll tell you what, that's a great time in my life. I mean, I say, hi, God, how you doing? You say, that's kind of not very reverent, is it? I hope I have a relationship with him that he knows what I mean by that statement, because I love my Lord. And I wake up in the morning. How many wake up in the morning grumpy? He's the answer to my grumpiness. How many wake up in the morning and say, man, I don't know if I'm going to get everything done today. How many wake up with that idea? You meet with him. All those things become so unimportant. Unimportant. Because you met with him. Yeah, but I don't have the time to spend with him. Yeah, but you'll find out you'll have more time not getting things done because you didn't take time to meet with him. And number four, not only live a deeper life, but I may know him. A dynamic might, the power of his resurrection, a devoted life, the fellowship of his suffering. Whenever I think of the things in my life that are not right, my Lord suffered so much. And by the way, you ready for this? He is suffering this morning with the Moody's. I want you to get that, everybody. He is weeping too in his heart because that's the kind of Savior we have. And live a dying life. You know, I often say to you, I'm not going to attend my funeral. Don't plan on it. But I attend a funeral every day. My funeral. Being made conformable to his what? To his death. I got to die daily. Now, how many have been tempted lately? Been tempted to do something wrong? Anybody besides John Stevens? We all could raise our hand. You know what I've found? I talk back to myself. I say, Lord, I'm going to choose you over this stupid, wicked sin that's on my mind. And I start focusing on him. And the other just fades away. You can focus on lust or the Lord. I choose the Lord. You can focus on bitterness, or you can focus on forgiveness of other people in your life. You can do what you know. And I say, Lord, I choose you over that. Listen, you know, far too many people worship bitterness. It's their God. On and it goes. So today, as we conclude here today, finally, as Paul would say, and didn't mean it, but I'm meaning it. Finally, don't serve with the wrong spirit. Rejoice in the Lord. Realize there's a day dawning in our hearts with the Holy Spirit. Serve with the Holy Spirit that into it. And don't be satisfied with your accomplishment. No matter how many things you've accomplished in life, I've had more people say to me, Preacher, why don't you write a book on your 52 years of experience and how God is, but I said, you know what's good? I have forgotten about all the good things we've done. Most of them, I have to ask Marilyn about them. She has to ask me about them. Because we want to focus on him. I am satisfied. And I just want to focus on the right things, the best things of life, the Lord Jesus. And then don't stumble. He's your cane. I'm going to do that one day. It's going down. Focus on Him. The deeper life. The dynamic life. The devoted life. And the dying life. You know, dead people are never tempted. They're never tempted. And I want to die daily so that I will tell with, and the temptation will die with me. Amen.